Wednesday morning, Evan Bray. Great to have you with me this morning. Woo! Was that a conversation we just had? Thanks to everyone that joined in on the phone line, the text line as well. The whole question about whether or not Donald Trump should have phoned Minnesota Governor Tim Walz following those targeted murders, assassinations, whatever you want to call them, that happened to politicians in the state of Minnesota. Lots of people disagreeing with me. My opinion is it was a demonstration of terrible leadership. And to add insult to injury, the fact that he was basically calling Walz names, I get it. The two don't like each other. I get it. There's a history there, 100%. There's no love lost between the two. But at some point, a leader's got to be a leader. And although you might not know this, I locked horns with many people through my years as chief of police, some of whom have been on this radio program. And you probably didn't even realize that, there's been some friction. But at the end of the day, you've got to be able to push past that. I feel like that's the role of a leader. And someone who actually battled through some of those situations with me is joining me as my next guest. The Deputy Chief of the Regina Police Service, Deputy Chief Trent Steveley, here for the monthly check-in with the Regina Police Service. Trent, thanks so much for taking the call.
Well, you're welcome. It's always good to speak to you, Evan. Thanks for having me.
So maybe let's do this first, because you, I know, are a hockey guy, and although as weird as my suggestion of the New York Islanders being my favorite team is, you've somehow picked the Washington Capitals, neither of which are contending for the cup this year. But what did you think of that cup, that run, and ultimately the loss by the Oilers?
Well, it was a good run by the Oilers, that's for sure. But I think it was obvious that Florida was just a powerhouse, and mm-hmm. top to bottom in the organization and the players, that was just something that they couldn't overcome. So,
you and I chatted off air, and you were talking about, don't underestimate the value of culture.
Yeah, and hearing that a lot through the series, and what it takes to win, and people discussing what you need to do in order to achieve that goal, and the whole organization about how they treat family and what they do for the players, and the travel and food and all of that, it sets the tone for leadership and for winning culture. So it's quite interesting to follow that up.
Deputy Chief Trent Steveley with the Regina Police Service is my guest. It's our monthly check-in with the RPS, and lots of different things. I want to get into some crime stats and pressures, but there's a couple of things that caught my eyes recently in the news. Let's start with this recent case of a porch pirate that ended up getting tasered by the Regina Police Service. So how common are you dealing with people stealing packages off of porches?
Well, unfortunately, it's common. It's a problem that we have in any major center. So, we deal with it accordingly. And of course, in that instance, it was a use of force that was required in dealing with that subject. But, it's something that we do come across and that we have to deal with.
So we talked about this shortly after you had done the release saying that this happened. And I got a texter that said, a taser seems a bit extreme for some guy who was just stealing something off of a package off of a porch. Does the arrest procedure fit the crime? Obviously, there's more to this. I mean, cops aren't just using tasers because someone's running.
No, not at all. It's all about the use of force and what the level of threat is from that subject. So obviously there is more to just him running away with the package, that there is some kind of threat identified by the members, and they use the appropriate amount of force. And as every use of force is reported, and then there's really a system of layers of review that happen following an incident like that. So it's just not a street sergeant showing up and checking off a couple boxes and saying, on to the next thing. It's reviewed, and if there's teaching, if there's learning opportunities, if it was suitable, all of that's discussed and addressed.
And part of it, too, is that in Saskatchewan, the Saskatchewan Police Commission, which is the governing body for municipal police agencies in the province, still requires a media release go out every time a CEW is deployed, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And that's all part of that oversight process, Evan, that things like that are necessary and needed. And it's transparency and reporting those uses of force.
Something else that I've noticed, Trent, and this is a trend that I think I can say from my time at your place is consistent with the time of year. In the summer, we see the number of missing youth go up. It's a fairly large number. Let me start with the question. The majority of youth that go missing, are they abductions? Are they runaways? What category do they fit into?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say most are runaways, not returning to homes where they're being cared for or just running from family. And generally, they're repeat runners as well. It's unusual to have somebody gone just one and off, but yeah, generally runaways have.
So how do you, what's the strategy to handle this? Are you putting officers on them full time until they're located? Obviously, there's an investigative work that goes into this. Are they assigned? How does that work?
Yeah, well, depending on the age of the young person and the situation and circumstances, it will likely be assigned a patrol member immediately for investigation and a list of names of addresses, locations, friends, anything like that. So an investigation will start immediately depending on the age and the circumstance. And normally it's completed when that person is found, returned. Even if they send a text or a phone call, we'll ensure that we've got some face-to-face interaction with the young person.
Mm-hmm. We're chatting with Deputy Chief Trent Steveley with the Regina Police Service, and which, by the way, anytime we have any of our police leaders on, we invite your texts, your calls, 1-877-332-8255. If you have a question for Deputy Chief Steveley, I'm happy to pass it along. We've seen a number of real positive announcements over the last handful of years from the Regina Police Service on cold cases where information has come in or investigations have continued that have led to the successful resolution of a case. In some cases, it's providing closure for families. In other cases, it's actually led to arrests. Recently, there was another cold case that came to light, the 1996 death of Muriel Roxanne DeMorest. What changed? What happened? Can you give us some insight into that?
Yeah, well, like you said, a cold case, they're never closed. And any information or tips or anything that comes about evidence, you know, we're always following up. We have a dedicated cold case crew of investigators. Of course, our major crime unit is connected to that. But in this event, there was new information and new statements that came to light about this file. And the investigation continued, and in conjunction with the Saskatchewan Coroner Service, it was deemed a homicide. Now, in this event as well, the primary suspect in this is also deceased.
So do you, because if I'm mistaken, please correct me, but we didn't hear the name of the accused, am I right?
Right, that's correct.
So I know there was some conversation around why not. If this person is accused of murder, because even if it hadn't been proven, but he was charged by RPS, we would have released that name or we would have heard that. Why was the decision made here not to?
Yeah, I think part of it, that's a great question. I think part of it is because the person is deceased and really, you know, won't be afforded the justice system or the opportunity that many others would be in that case. So that was part of it. But I think we're just pleased that the information had come to light and worked with the coroner's service to confirm that it was, in fact, a homicide.
I see a text actually just came in as we're chatting about this saying there has been an impressive number of cold cases closed by the Regina Police Service in recent years. What causes new information to come forward is the texter's question.
Yeah, you know, there's so many different things that it obviously it starts with people. And people are in different situations than they were a number of years ago when the event happened, and some of it could be health-related, that they're on their way out, to be frank, and they want to provide information. Maybe a person that had influenced them or impacted them is no longer in their life, and so they want to provide information. Just generally a change in situation for the people who do have that information, and you know, they're comfortable and they're able to bring it forward to a police agency.
We're chatting this morning with Deputy Chief Trent Steveley with the Regina Police Service. Okay, we're up against our first break. Let's take a break. We will be back. I've got a number of things. We'll talk about crime pressures. Overdoses continue to be high in Saskatoon. I want to get a sense of the lay of the land. land in Regina, and what's being done? Is the new emergency shelter open, or will it be soon? What impact will that have? A number of things. And by the way, if you have a question, 1-877-332-8255. Happy to take your text, your question, and pass it along to Deputy Chief Trent Steveley when we are back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Are just tuning in, you are stepping into a conversation about crime, safety, and statistics this year in the city of Regina and surrounding area. The Regina Police Service, every month we do a check-in with them, and this month we're chatting with Deputy Chief Trent Steveley by phone. Deputy, you've been a member of the police service for, I'm trying to do the calculation, I know it's over 30 years.
That's right. Yeah, 32
years. How do you feel policing has changed?
Oh, it's changed so much. I think people will know just the technology that we utilize now, Evan, in investigations and law enforcement is changed in 3 decades. That's the first thing I would say. The accessibility of weapons has also changed. Back in the day, it was knives, but just with the internet and, again, technology, the accessibility of somebody locating a firearm has increased so rapidly that we encounter them, you know, more often than we had. So I would say the technology and because of that, just the accessibility of weapons are probably the two big that I can think of off the top of my head.
I got on the note of technology, I got a text here from Dennis in Regina. Could you have your guest, Deputy Chief Steveley, talk about the success of the air surveillance unit? How are things going? The plane, I know, was down for a while because of some damage to the wing. It's back up and running. How are things going there?
Yeah, I'm going to use your word when we had it, but your words, it's been a game changer. And just for public safety, community safety, officer safety, it's been incredible and continues to be incredible. There's a great crew that flies it, and the tactical flight officers who operate the cameras and the computers, just top-shelf people. It does so much, and I often... You know, aside from tracking bad guys and vehicles and supporting the front line and patrol people, the technology of the camera, really in a number of seconds, it can snap to anywhere in the city. So I'll give you an example. If people or somebody calls in to say there are 100 people fighting at a location, the camera can get there right away and, you know, confirm it or deny it. And it really can help manage the resources that are going to be sent there, for example. So you don't need to pull people off calls to get to this event when there may only be 5 or 6 people fighting, for example. So The technology as part of that aerial support unit has been incredible and absolute game changer. And I know you probably have something to offer as well.
I just think it is a big step in the right direction. We were able to reap the benefit of Saskatoon having had that air support unit for a number of years. So they, trial and error, made some mistakes, and we were to pick up on their best practices. So we still, I think, owe a debt of gratitude, people in the city of Regina, for the work that Saskatoon had put into theirs. When we look at crime pressures, you do reporting to the Board of Police Commissioners every month. What is it heading into summer now, Trent? What would you say the heavy pressures are?
Yeah, you know, I think with the change in the weather, the arsons are obviously a concern to us. And when I say arson, people might immediately think that there's houses and homes going up and garages, and that's not the case, most certainly. Generally garbage dumpsters, and it's an issue with excess garbage being piled in there and around there. So arsons are generally driven, the stats are driven by fire starters and the dumpsters. Credit to our Board of Police Commissioners and to the Mayor and City Council, we've struck a working committee here to address that, and that might just be a change in the pickup of garbage and working with fire and working with departments and cities. So, you know, it's encouraging that we're traveling down that road to improve that stat. The overdoses, of course, continue to be a problem. I know Saskatoon has an incredible issue there, and we're seeing some challenges here. But working with our community stakeholders and other agencies to try and address it as best we can. And, you know, you and I have come a long way in our careers, too, when you talk about what's changed. People with addictions, we would generally arrest them and put them in jail until they're a bit better and then return them to the community. And we know now that the justice system in jail isn't a place for them. So just dealing with the stakeholders and other agencies to get these people help, obviously you know, honestly, they're willing to die for an addiction, which is sad, but it continues to be a pressure of the encampments as well, but managing those again with fire and the city and, you know, looking after those pressures.
A joint emergency group. Speaking of that, is that emergency shelter? It's not open yet in Regina, is it, Trent?
No.
No. So do you expect that'll be a game changer?
I think so. It's another, you know, avenue and support mechanism and system that's not jail and not the justice system. So, yeah, we have nothing but support for agencies and, again, stakeholders who recognize that and want to utilize those systems.
Deputy Chief Trent Stevely is my guest. I remember we had this talk on a few different topics while I was still at RPS, but does the city do a good job of, I guess, for lack of a better term, putting together an impact assessment report when something like the emergency shelter is going up? Businesses in the area can often raise a flag and say, we've got some concerns of the impact this might have on our business. Does the city go far enough in assessing impact?
I think so, in my experience, especially in the last 10, 15 years. I know that wasn't always the case in some circumstances way back that you may remember, but they generally do a really good job and consult the community and the business owners in the area where they're considering these locations. So my experience anyway, I can speak that the city really does a good job about that.
I know that you guys are promoting a safe neighborhood camera registry. Can you talk about what that is? We've got a couple of minutes left here, but what is that camera registry? And what's the benefit?
Sure. Essentially, it is what it is when you say a registry, that we solicit people and encourage them to register their address, their contact information, if they do have a camera that's facing out onto the street or into their backyard or into an alley, and completely volunteer. And if we have an event, say 123 Smith Street, and their camera has been registered, or there's three or four cameras from the block, Evan, that have been registered, we simply just click a couple buttons and we can reach out to them and say, hey, you may have some video that we would like to access and look at. You don't have to give it to us, but this event unfolded and shows that you've registered your camera with us. And if we can have a look at that information and that video, it'd be great. You don't have to turn it over. So essentially, it's just a database for us to access of locations and people who have cameras that they may provide information or evidence to us.
That's got to be a growing list, too, the number of people that have those, which is just a great way to gather evidence. And you've said it's voluntary. Yeah. Doesn't give police powers to go and seize that right away. Yeah. You would still have to go through judicial authorization if you needed that. Yeah. But has the uptake been pretty good?
Yeah, it's been incredible. I think we're over 400 cameras now that are part of the registry. And, you know, there's communication and messaging that comes along with that every time, including now, that says, you know, this isn't us accessing your video stream directly and controlling your camera or watching what we want to. It's all of your information that you can voluntarily provide or not provide if we do reach out.
Very quickly, where can they go on the website to find out more about that?
Yep, and there'll be a big link on there, and then they can just follow the quick steps to it. And shout out to Prince Albert, who jumped into this first, and we followed their lead. So it's been a great program.
Good stuff. Deputy Chief Trent Stevely, appreciate you joining the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Evan. Always a pleasure.